And if you will, please direct your attention to verse number 8, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great gathering that we have, Lord, in our midst. And of course, while we're gathered here in four different places besides here in our church, in the nursery and in our primary church, our junior church and our children's church, there's other gatherings of individuals hearing messages on Christmas. I pray for every one of those services, Lord. We do ask for your presence here, please. And I, Lord, ask also for your anointing and your help as I preach the Bible. And Lord, I'm excited about the Christmas season, the opportunities, Lord, during this time of year. We're thankful for you choosing to send your Son. Lord, when we sinned and wandered away, you could have just written us off. You could have just said, that's it. They've made their choice. But Lord, dear God, you sent a Savior. You sent a Savior to save us from our sins. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to have the morning now focused on Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled, God Still Sends His Angels. God Still Sends His Angels. On purpose, I focused in on verse number 8 and the story of the shepherds being greeted by the angel of the Lord at first, and then an entire angelic host announcing the coming of Jesus Christ. A key component in the Christmas story is the angelic announcement of the birth of Jesus Christ to a handful of third shift shepherds faithfully standing guard over their flocks. I don't know about you, but many times I've tried to close my eyes and imagine what they saw as they experienced what I call this first immortal Christmas cantata. And I've stood outside on a clear, cold, star-studded night and tried to imagine the sky bursting into celestial celebration as these angels appeared to announce the birth of the King of Heaven. Can you see them even now? Brilliantly they shine, happily they sing, their voices joining together in perfect pitch and harmony as they announce to the world that a Savior is born. For this morning's message to be understood, I want to take a minute or two and just give you a little Bible, quick Bible education, a little bit of an understanding about angels, Let me say this at the very beginning. We do not exalt angels at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me say this. Angels do not exalt themselves. They only exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. The one exception to that was an angel named Lucifer. And as a result of his exaltation, self-exaltation, he was cast out of heaven. I want to warn you a little bit. You may have gotten caught up into this angel worship or this great tendency that's happened in the last 5 or 10 years to people, I think, having an over-focus on angels. Let me tell you something. You shouldn't spend your time, all of your mind's time, meditating on angels. You ought to spend them meditating on the God of the angels, the Savior of the angels. The angels didn't show up that day to exalt themselves. They showed up that day to exalt Jesus Christ. But let me tell you a little bit about angels, okay, this morning. Now, the word angel means messenger. It's very important that you get that first. The word angel means messenger. An angel of God is a messenger of God. Now, I'm going to talk to you about three types of angels in introduction. I think you'll find this interesting. Most of the time when you find the word angel spoken in scriptures, it's referring to a member of an order of created spiritual beings whose chief attributes are strength and wisdom. Though angels are spirits, sometimes power is given to them to become visible in the semblance of human form. We see that back in the Bible. In the Bible, the word is always used in the masculine gender. Now, I know that comes to a shock to us because when we think of angels, we do not think of little boys, we think of little girls. Amen. I remember we had a play here a while back, a production we were putting on here, and we wanted to be very biblical, so I enlisted two of our teenage boys to be the angels. They weren't happy when they got their parts. They weren't happy practicing their parts. They weren't happy performing their parts. And to be honest with you, the two that I chose, it just really didn't fit the whole angel concept that we have today. But in the Bible, the word is always used in the masculine gender. And we're told by Jesus that they neither marry or are given in marriage. Their place is found about the throne of God. From there, they are assigned duties as pertain to the believers. Now think about this. They are, as the Bible says, let me quote the Bible, ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. Isn't that interesting? See, this ministry has reference largely to the physical safety and well-being of the believers. So the angels are dispatched most of the time, to be an assistance to born-again Christians. I think the Bible teaches that angels are assigned to us. The Bible says they behold us. They're assigned to us as infants, and I think they care for us throughout our lives. I love this thought. Do you know that angels receive departing saints as they pass from this earth? They are carried by angels. Remember, Lazarus was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. You know, when you die, you think, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. When you take your last breath, if you're a born-again Christian, and you cease to breathe and you cease to exist in your mortal body, the first faces you see will be attending angels. I think probably one or some of them will be angels that have been with you your whole life. And I don't think that you're going to be afraid for one second. I think that there's going to be a peace there and a harmony there and a love there and a familiarity there with the angel that's been assigned unto you. And they're going to escort you into the presence of Almighty God. That's exciting. That's what angels do, you see. Besides Michael and Gabriel, they remain unnamed, serving obediently and humbly as they carry out their missions and deliver their messages. They want no attention or praise. They live to bring glory and honor to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the most common mention of the word angel, and that is how they function. The second type of angel mentioned in the Bible are fallen angels. I won't spend a lot of time on these, but let me just explain who they are. These are those who formerly served God, but was deceived into following Lucifer when he rebelled against God and was dislodged from his position of honor in heaven. Some of these angels are already chained in darkness, awaiting the day of judgment. Others serve actively under the command of Satan, working against the cause of Christ, and are referred to in the Bible as demons or devils. Now, this is what I want to focus on this morning. The third group, to whom the title of angel is occasionally attributed, is mankind. Sometimes men in the Bible are called angels. You say, why would that be, Brother Jerry? Because remember this, angel means messenger. An angel of God is a messenger of God. And let me say this, God still sends His angels. You see, these men who are called angels in the Bible, when you study them, they are always busy as the messengers of God. Yes, men and women of faith often serve in the capacity of an angel to deliver the message of God. Now, let me have you turn and hold your place there in Luke chapter 2. But let me have you turn to what I think is a classic example of this, although many times in the Bible, men are mentioned or called angels. Revelation chapter number 1. Can I have you turn there? The last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter number 1. I hope you're learning something this morning, or for some of you being reminded of some things. Revelation chapter number 1. Yes, God occasionally in the Bible mentions and calls a man or a woman an angel. Revelation chapter number 1, in verse number 9, we see that John has this wonderful vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the Isle of Patmos. An angel and some angels are going to be active during this chapter in delivering some of this book to John, of showing John some things. Listen, you read the book of Revelation, you read a lot about angels. But one of the first mentioned of an angel is found in this first chapter. Can I begin reading verse number 1? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw, notice this, seven golden candlesticks. So here, when John turns, he sees seven golden candlesticks. And in verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Folks, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the resurrected, victorious Lord. Notice verse 15, and his feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Remember that. He had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Now look right up here. When John turned, he saw several things. Number one, he saw seven golden candlesticks. And then he saw a likeness or the presence of Jesus Christ in his resurrected body, full of power and glory. And in his hand, he then noticed seven stars. Now let's jump down to verse 19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So all of these things represented something. Jesus Christ standing there in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, which means this, that even now today Jesus stands in the midst of the churches. Can I share something with you today? Jesus Christ is as much in attendance to this service this morning as me or as you are. He is right here in the midst of what we're doing here today. He observes all that we do. He critiques what we do. He watches us very carefully. That's why it's very important that everything that's done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, whether it's in this auditorium, whether it's in a Sunday school classroom, a junior class, church, or a children's church, or during the week in the Christian school, listen, it's very important to always remember Jesus is present there. Jesus is present there. But I want you to notice that in his right hand are seven stars. You see them? And he says, let me tell you who these stars are. These stars, the Bible says, in verse number 20, it says, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Now let me share that with you. This is a reference to the men who pastored these churches. These are a reference to the men who led these churches. Jesus said, I hold in my hand the messengers, are you listening to me? The messengers of God. I hold them in my right hand, the messengers of God. And so we see here one of the illustrations of when a man is referred to as an angel. Now, I may not look like it, folks, but I am the angel of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Some of you thought I was the demon, but I'm not. I'm the angel of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And let me assure you of something. Jesus Christ holds me right there in His right hand. You say, Brother Jerry, that must make you proud. No, that makes me very humble. That makes me fearful. That makes me accountable. That keeps me on my knees. That keeps me in a heart that wants to be true to this book. One of these days, I'm going to have to stand before God, having been entrusted the leadership of Blessed Hope Baptist Church and having been entrusted this pulpit. And let me share this with you, folks. I'm only here as an angel. I'm only here as a messenger. I'm just a messenger of God. Say, what do you do every week? I come up here and I tell you what God wanted me to tell you. I deliver the message of Almighty God. And that's why you ought to sit up and listen when the message of Almighty God is being delivered. Why? Because I'm some big shot. I'm nothing at all. But I am delivering a powerful message. It is the message of Almighty God. Now I'm going to have you go back, if you will, to Luke chapter number 2. And I want to encourage you in this thought, in this vein of thought this morning. I know that God in the Christmas story sent His angels, His messengers, if you'll let me say this, to tell a handful of shepherds a wonderful story of a Savior that had been born. But I believe that God still sends His angels today. And I want you to think about this as we reflect on this. You know, as a preacher, if I'm an angel and I'm in the right hand of God and that's my responsibility, this would be a good opportunity for me to look at this and see how these angels conducted themselves and what they did and what was important. And I ought to probably pattern myself after that. For some of you, we've got a few of them in the auditorium this morning, you young preachers that are studying for the ministry. Hey, you know what? One of these days you are going to be the angel or the messenger of God, and God may very well put you in the pulpit of in front of a congregation at the helm of a church somewhere. Well, you know what? If you're going to be an angel, if you're going to be a messenger of God, here are some messengers that came, and they did right, and they did what they were told to do, and they did it the right way, and we could probably learn some things. But can I just broaden this out a little bit? Can I share this thought with you? God still sends His angels today, and they're not always preachers. I believe any born-again Christian that carries the message of the birth of a Savior to another individual, in that moment in time, they are acting as an angel of the Lord, as a messenger of the Lord. Now, that ought to be exciting to you. Last Sunday morning, I stood up here and preached, and we had several people come forward to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And can I say this, all across this altar, two on this side, if I believe, and two over here, people were kneeling down and having the gospel explained to them. Listen, folks, angels fluttered up here and opened their Bible and delivered the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, those good tidings of great joy. Angels were here last week. Angels were here last week. See, Brother Jerry, I know those ladies. I said angels were here last week. And they were opening the message of Jesus Christ and delivering the message of Jesus Christ to someone who needed to hear it. You know, we got to baptize someone last Sunday morning, and it's good to see her back here today. But you know what? When her mother-in-law was sick in the hospital, and Pastor Ross went over to check on the family, you know what? For a few minutes, he decided that he'd just be an angel. Are you listening to me? He decided he'd be an angel. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jerry? Well, angels are messengers. They're messengers of God. They deliver the gospel, the good tidings of great joy. That's to all people. And you know what? Me, you, and everybody else in here has the opportunity, if you're a born-again Christian, to spend your life or part of your life being an angel. You can deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ and tell the gospel story. And I'm telling you, God still sends His angels. I'm not talking about some angelic being that's going to float down and light up the star-studded sky and sing the redemption story. He's decided He's going to instead allow us to be the angels in this dispensation. We get the opportunity of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's exciting to me. Now, let me teach you some things about this. If we're going to be in the angel business, we better learn some things. First of all, verse number 9, notice this. The angels of the Lord reflect a heavenly appearance. The angels of the Lord reflect a heavenly appearance. I'm going to touch on some things that probably need to be said, and this is going to be a long message. But I'm going to touch on some things that need to be said here. Notice this. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And the reaction then of the shepherds was this, and they were sore afraid. You know what? When one of the angels of God came down, there was the glory of God about them. Did you hear me? There was the glory of God about their appearance. Those shepherds took one look at those angels and realized that they were representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They realized whose side they were on. They shone with a light that was reflective of a God light, a God presence. I think there was something holy about these angels. I think there was something heavenly about these angels. And if they were men, I don't think they were walking around with a pair of shorts cut off at their knee and their crotch hanging clear down the middle of their knees and earrings studded in their ears and say, "Hey, yo." You know what they did? They represented God. Say, "What are you talking about, Brother Jerry?" I'm talking about being in the angel business. You see, folks, the only way the world's going to listen to me and listen to you as we try to deliver the story of the gospel is, first of all, by your very appearance, there ought to be something that speaks about God, that speaks of God. And this isn't preached enough in our pulpits today. You know, we've just decided to surrender in this. Well, maybe the rest of the world surrendered, but I'm not surrendering in this. You know, young men, I don't care if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. When you're walking around the community, with one look, one glance at you, there ought to be an understanding that you're a child of God. There ought to be a difference in the way that we look and the way the world looks. Why are we trying to acclimate into the world? Why are we picking up their slang? Why are we picking up their talk? Why are we picking up their walk? Why are we picking up their attitude? Listen, the angels stood up. They had a shining of the glory of God about them. And you know what? I just think that Christians ought to be different. I really do. I think it ought to be in your countenance. Not just your clothes. I think it ought to be in your countenance. Amen. You know what? How in the world are... Listen, the Bible says when they came here, they were rejoicing. They were happy. They said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Listen, there was an electricity about them. There was a smile on their face. There was the victory of victorious touch of God about them. Listen, people could just tell by being around them that there was something wonderful, and they had something wonderful to tell. And you know what, folks? Let me just say this to you old-timers here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what? You can dress right and look right on the outside and still walk around with a sourpuss look on your face and be a horrible testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world's not going to want to hear you grumble and grumble and grumble. And then, by the way, let me tell you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Life stinks, but at least there's Jesus, you know. Amen. Amen. Some of you ought to just shock yourself and say something positive. Some of you ought to just shock yourself and find some good news around Blessed Hope Baptist Church and spread it for a change. Some of you just ought to shock yourself and shock your family and come home with a smile on your face. You ought to shock your wife, walk in with singing or whistling. Hey, why don't you get the touch of God on your life? You see, there's a place wherever you work, there's people out there in the community that you touch. And you know what? If you've allowed Satan to steal your joy, then you know what? You're not going to be very effective at sharing those great tidings, good tidings of great things. I'm just saying that there ought to be something about us, the way we look, the way we dress, the way we smile, the way we walk. There ought to be something that says this is a representative, a messenger of Almighty God. There ought to be something different about us. Amen. And I think it ought to be reflective. I talked about the men, and angels are usually masculine in the Bible. But if these were gal angels, I don't imagine they were dressed immodestly. I don't imagine they were cross-dressing. I don't imagine they showed up in a halter top. Amen. Brother Jerry, this Sunday morning. Sunday morning crowd needs to hear this. Brother Jerry, I'm a new Christian. I know this. Just fasten your seatbelt and tighten it up a little bit. Amen. You're going to never get out of being a new baby Christian if you don't get to the point where you can handle some meat. I'm just telling you, there's a reason that we follow the Bible in these areas that is very specific in how we look and how we act and how we conduct ourselves. You know why? Because it either detracts from the message that we're supposed to be delivering, or it highlights the message that we're supposed to be delivering. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I'll tell you what, when they showed up in the sky, let me tell you something, everybody that took a, those shepherds that took a look up there said, you know what, this is a messenger of Almighty God. That's why, Brother Jerry, when I conduct the services here, I dress like a preacher. Shame, shame, shame what's going on across our country. Preachers deciding to go the contemporary route. Amen. You know, they're going to go up there and rap Jesus to the congregation. That's as wicked as hell. Bring their little rock and roll bands up on the stage. And they're gonna rock and roll with Jesus. Shame on them. What a wicked thing. Man, the glory of God is supposed to shine about. There's supposed to be a difference. Are you listening to me, young people? There's supposed to be a difference. Well, I graduated from Blessed Hope Baptist School, and I don't have to dress as... No, you don't have to, but you should. Amen. By the way, how many people have you won to Christ since you backslid? Now, how many people have you won to Christ that you've got to listen to you since you backslid? Come on, you want to spread your little, you know, hypocrisy around here. You want to hang around the edges and say, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this. It's okay to do this. And okay, let me ask you something. How many people have you got to the Savior? How many people have you got to Jesus? Amen. Amen. This isn't just for teens. This is good for adults. Come on. How many of you led to Christ lately? Come on. Are you listening to me? The honest truth is, you know what? The reason that these men stopped what they were doing and listened to these folks is because they had the touch of God on them. There was a difference. There was a heavenly appearance about them. They lined up with what was known of God and known of His Word. And so, folks, if we're going to be in the angel business, God still does send His angel. But if you're going to be in the angel business, then your outward appearance ought to reflect a heavenly appearance, a heavenly glory. Number two, the angels of the Lord commanded respect and attention. I like this, and I'm just not going to spend a lot of time on this, but boy, I tell you, some things we've just lost in this generation. Verse number 9 says, when the angels appeared, the last phrase says, and they were sore afraid, speaking of the shepherds. And the angel even had to say unto them, fear not. You know why? Because when they showed up, they made their appearance. Let me tell you something. They had immediately the respect of those men. They had the attention of those men. And they weren't, listen, I don't think when those angels were delivering the message, they were talking or giggling. I don't think they kept, you know, with the angels delivering the message, they were walking in and out, going to the bathroom. You know, I think that, you know, when God's man gets up and delivers God's message, you know what? Whispering time's over. Joking time's over. Passing note time ought to be over. Amen. I mean, boy, even to the youngest one in this room today ought to sit up on the edge of their seat and say, you know what? There's a angel of God. There's a messenger of God. And listen, he's bringing the words of God. And we're here to hear them. And we ought to listen to them. And we ought to pay attention to them. And by the way, we ought to show him some respect. Amen. I'm so glad that I was raised in a family where I was taught to respect men of God. Do you hear me? I didn't listen to my mom and dad chew up the preacher. I'm telling you, I didn't listen to that junk. I didn't sit around the table on Sunday afternoon and listen to my parents criticize Brother Evans, our pastor that led us to Christ. I didn't hear that. I heard him talking about what he preached. I heard him talking about what he said. I heard him wondering about this, wondering about that. But I'm going to tell you, and by the way, when he showed up at our house, he was an honored guest. And he was treated with respect. And us boys didn't walk in and say, hey, Elmer. Amen. Amen. We didn't put any of that garbage. See, what the world wants to do is lessen the respect for the messengers of God. By the way, you that have been involved in soul winning, you remember the day when you used to knock on a door, and you know what? I'm not saying everybody, but the vast majority of the community would at least treat you very respectfully. You know why? Because you were delivering the Word of God to their door. In some fashion, you were representing the church, and they at least treated... I'm not saying everybody, but buddy, the vast majority... And I'm going to tell you, nowadays, that's just not there anymore. I remember going to Sunday school class. Let me tell you, I was as much boy as any boy. But I'd been taught some things. That teacher got up there and opened the Bible and started teaching the Sunday school lesson. Let me tell you something. It wasn't cutting up time, and if it was, I'm going to tell you what, I had something waiting for me when I got home. I didn't come home bad-mouthing adults in the church. I didn't do it and get by with it. You know, are you listening to me? I'm telling you, the people that stand up with the Bible in front of your children, they ought to be respected by your children. They ought to be called by their proper title. Now listen to me, folks. I believe with all my heart. You can do whatever you want to, parents, but we've got some young people right now that won't listen to their preacher. And let me tell you what I sense. I sense they're not listening to their preacher because they're hearing their preacher disrespected in the home. Now you better listen to me. If you're critical of your preacher, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you, your young person's not going to sit out there and listen with their Bible open and on the edge of their seat and absorb what the preacher's saying and make it to an altar, make decisions, if they have basically been told at home in so many words, he's a fool and he don't know what he's talking about. Are you listening to me? I'm just saying there used to be a day when the angels of the Lord, the messengers of God, commanded some respect and they commanded some attention, even in the community. And I know to a certain extent, so-called men of God have made it harder for the rest of us. And there was the Jimmy Swaggerts and all this other mess that happened and still is happening in the communities today. And shame, but let me tell you something. Those are the exception, they're not the rule. I heard a man one day say something about preachers, and boy, he'd start telling about this preacher, and he gave two or three examples of preachers that were either crooked or dishonest, or in his opinion, were hypocrites. And I said, "Are you done?" He said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "You mentioned three. I can name 300 that are just the opposite of that." By the way, that man was an electrician. I told him this. I said, "You know what? I know an electrician that's dishonest. I know an electrician that's crooked. I know an electrician that is a whoremonger. Am I supposed to believe that all you electricians are that way just because this one is?" Yes. Amen. Amen. Now, the Bible even tells us there's going to be false prophets. There's always going to be charlatans out there. The Bible warns plainly about that. Yeah, there's going to be some bad apples out there. But I'm telling you what, folks, I'm telling you, tucked all over this country in little hills and hollers and little communities are men of God with the call of God on their life and the anointing of God that are true to this old King James Bible, that go out and knock on doors. They're faithful to their wife. They're doing the best they can to raise their kids and nurture and admonition of the Lord. They carry around gospel tracts in their pocket. And they, listen, most of the time, barely make enough to live. But they stay the course. And because of that, folks, let me tell you, I'm not exaggerating. Hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of people will walk in the kingdom of God. You know why? Because of men of God that was faithful in this matter of just being a messenger of Almighty God. So don't come to me preacher bashing. Don't come to me preacher bashing, you see. I mean, I thank God for the preachers. Remember, they're in the right hand of God. Thank God for the preachers. Now, parents, listen to me. Look right me in my square in my eyeball and get this. You need to see that your children call the pastor by the proper title, whether they're related to me or not. You need to have them step up in some areas. Amen. If they can't respect me or this pulpit, then take them somewhere where they can respect a man of God. But there's no reason for them not to. I'm standing firm on this book. I preach this book without apology. I'm taking this church in the right direction. Now, folks, you ought to get behind your preacher, and you ought to get your kids behind your preacher. Well, I don't agree with every little thing. Well, you know what? Maybe that's why I'm here and you're there. Maybe you ought to just trust me. Maybe you ought to say, "Brother Jerry's put down some lines in some areas, and he's teaching us, and they're Bible-based principles. And you know what? Let's just follow them. Let's just get on board." I mean, get rid of this stuff where, you know what, it's just more fun to be the rebel. To be the rebel family. To be the ones that's always questioning, "Well, there's nothing wrong with it. No, I just think he's too far here." Well, you know what? The young people in this church over the last 12 years that have set up and listened to their youth pastor teach in all areas are doing fine. It's the ones that wouldn't listen that's messed up. It's the ones that have gone the opposite direction. "Brother Jerry, I think you're too far." Thank God I'm a little far right. That way if your kids don't quite follow it and they go a little bit, they'll still be okay. Thank God I'm where I'm at. Thank God I'm where I'm at. You see, we didn't just fall off the turnip truck. We've been driving this thing a long time. I've clocked in over 20 years working with young people. The things I've written in my books and the things I preach from the pulpit, they work. If young people and parents will follow them, they work. Yes, they do. You show me a young person that just gets in there, looks at that, says, "I'm going to do it. Maybe I don't understand it. Maybe I think it's a little strict, but I'm going to do it." I promise you, that kid is going to be just fine. Amen. And so we need some angels. We need some angels of the Lord that reflect a heavenly appearance. We need some angels of the Lord that will command some respect and attention. Number three, we need some angels of the Lord that will just deliver the gospel story. I love this. Say, what were they there to do? Talk about themselves? No. What were they there to do? They were there to say this. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's real simple, the gospel ministry. There's a reason we call it the gospel ministry. You know what the main message of the gospel ministry is? The gospel. Amen. You say, Brother Jerry, I come here on Sunday mornings and it's like a broken record. Amen. If it's stuck, it better be stuck on the gospel. Yeah, well, I know that. Well, there's folks here that don't. There's folks here that think they do and they don't. Folks here think they're saved and they're not. By the way, it might be your child, your grandchild. You better thank God there's a preacher that's stuck on the gospel. It may be your wife. Oh, my wife's saved. You don't know if your wife's saved. I don't know if mine's saved. There's many times I don't think she's saved. I won't get into personal things, though, this morning, amen. I think I'm going to go shopping this afternoon, buy some more gifts now, you know. Maybe your mama's not saved, your daddy's not saved. Well, Brother Jerry, I'm afraid to bring them here. You preach so much against sin. How are they going to get saved if they don't hear preaching against sin? Folks, if you're not convicted of your sin, you've never been saved. If you weren't convicted of your sin when you thought you were saved, you're not saved. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Thief on the cross, two of them hanging together. The Bible says when they first were hung on that cross, that they were mocking Jesus at the base of the cross, and both of them joined in. They were both thieves joined in with the mocking of Christ. But at some point in time, one of them watched Jesus die on that cross and watched the interaction between him and his mother. Listen to Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Watch the way the Son of God died, and he had a repentant heart, a change of heart, a change of view. Next thing you know, instead of cursing the Lord along with those that cursed the Lord, he was repenting to the Lord. Instead of treating him like a man, he started treating him like the Savior. Instead of speaking down to him, he started praying to him. And because of that, he got saved. You know what that's called? Repentance. People don't want to hear preaching on repentance. Now, if he'd have said, well, I'm going to stay a rascal, I'm going to stay with this rotten attitude, I'd have no intention of changing anything I do, but hey, yeah, I can say a prayer and guarantee myself heaven, sure. I don't have to make any change, sure. I'll pray that prayer. Listen, you didn't get saved when that happened. Amen. By the way, it's right here in the Scriptures. It says that Jesus came to save the people from their sins. Not in their sins, from their sins. From their sins. And so the angel of the Lord brings the gospel story. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now that's the message this morning. There's a Savior. There's a Savior that was born. Well, why did they call him a Savior? Because I needed to be saved. Because you needed to be saved, or you still need to be saved. There was an absolute necessity that a Savior come. You know why? Because we are born lost sinners. We are born lost. We are born in our sins. We have this old sin nature. Listen, it started in Adam. It's been passed all the way down. Every one of us are born sinners. And we needed a Savior. And you know what? Some of us get to be angels. All of us, if we want to, can be angels that are saved. And we get to carry this gospel story. So in closing, let me be an angel. Can I be an angel? Would you look up here? Let me just share something with you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. I was born a sinner, you're born a sinner. I was born on my way to hell, you were born on your way to hell. If you don't do anything about that during your lifetime, when you die, that's exactly where you'll go, and that's where I would have went. But there was an angel that lived across the street from the Ross family in Brazil, Indiana. A family of angels. They didn't flutter around with wings on their back. When we saw them, they didn't glow with the Shekinah glory. But you know what they did? They brought a message to us. And they kept coming over and trying to bring a message to us. And finally they got us to come to their church. And there was an angel in that church that mounted the pulpit every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night and preached the gospel. We started figuring some things out. We were lost on our way to hell. And we needed that Savior. And you know what? He wanted to be our Savior. I love this. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Boom, a light went on. Jesus just didn't die for the preacher or die for the Purcells or die for good people. He died for all of us. He died for me. And all I need to do is just turn from my sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Go forward and say, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. I believe that with my heart. That is the good news. That's the gospel story. I want to change. I want God to come into my life. I want to be saved. I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Amen. Is that you here today? Is that you here today? Can I tell you this? God loves you. God wants to save you right here. Last Sunday morning, we had an invitation. Several people came forward. It's not unusual for that to happen. Right now in Children's Church, Junior Church, they are having an invitation. Probably some child will come forward and receive Jesus. But wait a minute, that doesn't do you any good at all. You have to be saved. You have to be saved. You have to be saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody's looking around. Please, could I have you just respect this? Don't look around. Close your eyes and bow your head. If you're already saved, please pray at this time. Say, preacher, I came in here today. Ever since you've been preaching or somewhere in the course of your message, something's began to happen inside of me, and I don't know what it is, but there's an unrest in me. Something's going on inside of my heart right now. It's as if God is pulling me. It's as if God is drawing me. It's as if God is trying to tell me things aren't right. Let me tell you what that is. That's the sweet Holy Spirit of God convicting you of your need of Jesus Christ. If you're feeling that right now, let me tell you, you are a blessed person. Because God is confirming to you how much He cares about you. And He wants you to come to the Savior. In just a minute, we're going to sing a song of invitation. And as we sing, I'm going to encourage you to come. What I'd like you to do is step from your seat. If you're on the inside, just say, excuse me, to the person next to you. Come to the nearest aisle. Come on up here. And we've got some men that'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you how you can be saved. Hey, I got good news. A Savior was born, which is Christ the Lord. And He wants to save you this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that You speak to our hearts. Oh God, help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to be the angels that we ought to be. Help us to be the delivery boys we ought to be. Help us to be busy getting the gospel out. Lord, may nothing in our appearance distract people or keep people from listening to the gospel. Oh God, Lord, please help us to focus in on the gospel story. We're just sent to basically give one thing, the gospel. The gospel, the world needs the gospel. Lord, I pray that there's someone here this morning that's not saved, that You'd convict their heart. No one's looking around. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Preacher, while you were preaching, the Lord spoke to my heart and I need to be saved. I know I'm lost and I need to be saved. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? I won't come back. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name out, but I will pray for you. Would you raise your hand? That was me. The Lord's spoken to my heart, and you know what? I don't think that I'm saved. I don't know what would happen if I was to die. I see your hand, young lady. God bless you. I don't think God's done there. Brother Jerry, I've never been saved. I'm not saved. The honest truth is I'm not saved. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Or no. I know that I'm not. I'm not saved. Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? I'll be glad to do it. Let me pray for you. Anyone else? God bless you. I see you. See that hand. Heavenly Father, I pray for this dear lady, Lord. She's concerned. She's lifted her hand. I pray that You'd bring her to Christ. Give her the courage she needs to step out even now as we begin the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.